Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy and still very much in London, we are surviving the cold, but there's also some sun, and this is the Four Center Podcast. I'm Ken Napsack.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw. I'm sitting in my hotel room on my couch with an energy drink. We had a lot of fun in London last night, and we are still awake and had some fun at the Ahsoka panel. That is what we're going to be discussing on this episode. It was a great thrill. The Ahsoka panel was a lot of what I hoped for and expected. The trailer that they played yesterday that we talked a little bit about was such a big Ahsoka news that I was really thinking Thrawn is the reveal.
Yeah.
And as people listening probably know, Thrawn indeed was the reveal. Ken, I want to start with Thrawn. We'll talk about some of the other things they talked about or revealed, confirmed on the panel. But take me through your Thrawn emotions as the blue man was revealed and then the person playing the blue man.
Yeah, I've just seen a face. I can't remember the time or place. I do remember. Yeah, so the face of Thrawn was revealed. And we've got Lars Mikkelsen, right? Not Mads. The Mikkelsen brothers are here. They're probably hanging out in a hotel having a good time. The reveal was finally made and a long time coming. Lars did such a good job of denying it, but every once in a while those denials just seem too strong. And so it's finally confirmed. So my Thrawn thoughts are I'm really excited and I got oddly emotional at the trailer overall, but Lars came out and got emotional too. And, you know, you see another person cry, you start to get a little teary-eyed yourself. So I have a lot of mixed emotions overall of the Thrawn of it all. I've documented that on the podcast. but I'm really excited to see it. And I got to tell you, just even walking out, 5,000 people squeezing through two doors, a lot of people are really excited for what they experienced in the 90s. It's not going to be the same thing. It's similar. We've already seen Thrawn and Rebels, of course, that we'll talk about the Timothy Zahn of it all. But I loved hearing that. That was one of my favorite things, is people behind me going, oh, man, that book in the night. Oh, man, this feels like 1995 again. And I know a lot of those fans maybe felt that the Disney era was casting that aside. And in many ways, they're not wrong. In fact, maybe I was part of that problem too. I apologize. That's exciting. That's my big overall Thrawn thoughts.
Yeah, I think for me, it was exciting to just be able to move past the speculation that's happening lot this weekend, where we're able to stop talking about the rumors as much.
Yep.
Who's writing this? Who's directing this? Who's suddenly not writing this? And we're getting back to being able to talk about the characters in the story and the legacy, and knowing that there's just all of these thousands of people who are like, well, Thrawn was teased being tied to the Ahsoka story in season two of Mandalorian.
Right.
Okay, we're ready. Yeah. So just for clarity for anybody who has not had a chance to look into it, they played a different version of the Ahsoka trailer that was slightly longer. And I don't think it's a spoiler to say it's a full Thrawn face.
Yeah.
The trailer that it's available publicly with a couple extra shots. I'm not sure about talking about some of the other extra shots just in case. But it was basically the trailer that I'm sure listeners all know and love by now. And when Ahsoka says Thrawn is some heir to the Empire, just a shot of him stepping menacingly but calmly forward. And it was great. That was the way they made the reveal. Then they brought Lars Mikkelsen out, and I'm sure people have also seen the photos. But like, he was. I know this isn't his heritage, but he looked like an Irish mob leader. He had this calm presence, nice sweater, what a friend of mine calls a dude cap.
A dude cap.
You know, it's just this nice kind of, you know, pleasant older gentleman cap. And he exuded Thrawn, right?
He really did.
This sort of like this presence. This energy, this strength, in so crucial to Thrawn. There's intelligence, but there's power in this coiled power, and it's gonna strike. Is it gonna strike in a friendly way?
Yeah.
Is it gonna strike in a harmful way? Like, I think that's what's so good about his performance of Thrawn. That silky whisper makes you wanna lean in, and everything he's saying is thoughtful and mostly, you know, respectful and correct about your art and your heritage, and then this vicious power destroys you.
This snake reaches out and gets you.
Yeah, and his Lars Mikkelsen's presence just conveys that quiet presence and power. So I was just happy to see that air and see that energy. He was very, soft-spoken. He was emotional. But just the presence in the room made me even more excited for Thrawn.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, I was moved by it there too. And I'm with you on we finally can get to it. We finally can just get to what we're going to experience. The cards have been dealt in this cast, and Lars is a perfect casting. Some things we learned, you know, he actually had never been to L.A. before shooting this series, did all his Rebels VO over Skype. You know, I love hearing those kind of stories. And he seems someone who's just now fully understanding how big Star Wars is to all of us, you know?
Yeah.
He expressed some things well of everyone involved in this loves this, to bring this to you meaning the audience there. And I think that was part of what had moved him too. So that was a great moment. And that was at the very end of the panel.
Yeah, the very end of the panel. And you're right. It is really fun to imagine the Mikkelsen brothers both here. You know, one for Indiana Jones, one for Star Wars. But both have now done Star Wars. And, like, I wonder, like, are those two going to have dinner with Mary Elizabeth Winstead in Ewan McGregor, the other couple who's now like, how's your Star Wars going?
Yeah. She's, this is her convention. Well, I mean, Ewan's here as well, but yeah, it's great. She's getting her time. Yeah. So much to discuss, but yeah, that's absolutely the headline.
Yeah.
The Thrawn of it all.
Yeah. And he looked great, I thought. And then, I think the other real Thrawn thing to discuss is that, Filoni gave a good little speech about what Thrawn means to people. He was asked by the moderator, why is Thrawn so compelling? And he said a couple of, you know, pretty straightforward things about the character of, you know, the master chess player, manipulator and all that. But he really described what a lot of people were talking about in the hubbub as we exited, about how much those books meant to them, about the 90s and the books, but also just the experience of them. And Filoni did a good, really, really good job capturing, like, there was not any Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And there was a question of whether, hey, is it ever going to come back? And seeing a big standee in a bookstore.
And filled, B. Dalton books.
Yeah, B. Dalton books, Walden books, whatever books you had, wherever you were, if you were alive then, filled with heir to the Empire. What's all this about? And that is a part of this legacy. And they went out of their way to say that they have spoken to Zahn, Timothy Zahn.
Yeah.
And And Favreau said, and we're going to be talking to Tim a lot soon.
Yes.
And he didn't say it. Sometimes people say those kind of things knowing that they're throwing live bait into the shark pool.
Yeah.
he said it kind of casually, so it might be like, hey, we're having lunch. But I also did take some relevance to it to, like, now that we know that Filoni is doing this film.
Yeah.
I think there's excitement that the heir to the Empire world, that story, Thrawn as that moniker, is coming. But I really want to temper my expectations that I'm sure the first season of Ahsoka will be a complete story. But what people are excited about is an adaptation of Heir to the Empire might be several years away, might be this movie that Filoni is directing, just on like a functional level.
Yeah. It seems to be building towards that. The comments of them talking to Timothy Zahn, it's not surprising. Of course, as we know, Zahn is in canon now in the Thrawn series. We have not taken that deep dive. We didn't finish that Thrawn series. But yeah, there was something about, because we can't spoil what we don't know.
Right.
But I almost don't want to speculate, but there definitely seems that this is full foot on the gas pedal for this Heir of the Empire. Not a direct adaptation. I don't think clone Luke is showing up. I don't even know if Mar Jade. I'm expecting that. It just seems the vibe of what that was 5 years or so after the fall, Return of the Jedi, Thrawn there as the Heir of the Empire, that line's in the trailer. And it just seems like they're going full throttle on that.
Wouldn't that be amazing if we could say, hey, everybody, you know what was confirmed is Ahsoka.
Ahsoka clone, yeah.
Ahsoka clone would be amazing. the panel really was the big pop at the end of the trailer with additional footage, the Thrawn of it all. And then a lot of it was just a really straightforward, solid panel discussing the show, discussing the character, discussing memories. So we're going to just kind of break down some of that. Filoni had a lot of great quotes and a lot of reveals. Started the panel with a shout out to all of the people who worked with him over the years on Clone Wars and Rebels, specifically shouting out the animators. His initial co-writer, Henry Gilroy, who often gets left out of the discussion, you know, the very true legend of Filoni as the apprentice to Lucas's master has sort of overshadowed Henry Gilroy, I think. And it was really nice of Filoni to say, like, hey, yeah, George and I co-created it as Ahsoka, but Henry Gilroy was there. So big shout out to him, and a big shout out to all of the voice actors. Didn't lean into any discussion of it's sad that some of them aren't with us. Hey, but here's Lars Mikkelsen. It was nothing like that, but it was just a firm acknowledgement that many people had built to this panel, this show. Yeah. How did you feel about that?
I actually really enjoyed it. I don't think Dave has failed to do that at all in the past, but I think it's easy for fans to focus on him. He's a character. He's a front man, whether he wants to be or not. And I think at times he does. And other times I don't think he does want to be a front man. So that's naturally going to happen. Henry Gilroy has as much to do with the success of Clone Wars as any other person on that team, particularly, you know, looking at the first 2 years where, you know, those great interviews of them together. It was them positioned together. And I'm not saying Dave pushed them out or anything, because Gilroy wrote on Rebels, said, I've actually had a chance to meet Henry Gilroy. He loves Star Wars. There's no bitterness there, nothing. I think it's different paths. But Dave definitely has the big picture in hand. And so for him to acknowledge that, to acknowledge the voice actors, there's some stuff Rosario Dawson said later. I put the note of it's good messaging on continuing the story of these characters, because now we have Sabine and Hera and Chopper and all these other characters coming to live action. We haven't gotten to the Dave voicing Chopper thing. I don't know. He'll deny that to the end. But it was good. It's good messaging. I don't mean to make it sound like a Hallmark card, but they understand the legacy of these characters and how they got to this point, and that they're only standing on the shoulder of those giants. It actually meant a lot to have Dave take that moment, as often he does, but to have him at this big launch for Ahsoka.
Yeah, there was a great acknowledgement, and I think it's really, really great that he does take as many rounds of applause. This is an accomplishment to have been so involved with the animated side and now having this big step into live action. But it's a great example of how it is necessary to keep reminding and complimenting everyone involved. There's still people, when the Bad Batch Season 2 is wrapping up, saying, yeah, in a kind way, and I'm not criticizing anybody,
no.
saying, Dave Filoni did it again. And I think that is because his legend is so large. So I'm not chiding anybody who said that. It's easy to think that. His name pops up as the creator.
Yeah.
But it's Jennifer Corbett. Jennifer Corbett is the Filoni of Bad Batch. And his shadow is so strong that it is cast over her. And in fact, on the panel today, he talked about how he's not done with animation. He's like, I did Tales of the Jedi. And he said, I partially did want to do that Tales of the Jedi because I was so jealous of everything they were doing on Bad Batch.
Yeah.
He distanced himself that far because he's not actively working on it.
Yeah. No, I put down that note, too, of also what a world. He can just sketch out some ideas on a notepad and it turns into these wonderful shorts. This not to turn into a conversation about Bad Batch and Jennifer Corbett, but definitely the legend of the cowboy hat is large. So
yeah,
it was good to get into that today.
Yeah, he had said a lot of great things, as he always does, but he provided some confirmations. There was a direct, to my great joy, Professor Huyang confirmation that yes, that is Huyang. And it's made me so happy when the moderator asked him, like, and who's playing Professor Yang? Filoni said, the Doctor.
The Doctor.
Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor, and now upcoming the 14th Doctor.
That's right.
It's a whole thing. He's played more Doctors than anyone. Rosario Dawson talked a little bit about doing the recordings with him and then being able to act off of all of Tennant's recordings and performance. So that was really, really exciting to get that confirmation.
Yeah, we had had that at Celebration last year, right?
The
character.
Trailer. Yeah. Well, there was no confirmation of the character. Just all of us running wild.
As often is the case. So to get it all cleared up, it's great. And it just gets me so excited because the Ahsoka story goes back so many years now in our time and in Star Wars time. And there's so many characters. And to know that Dave's got that stuff in his back of his head of like, oh, Professor Wang would be there.
Yeah.
Or she'd go to him. Or let's use him. Gets me even more excited for the episodes we're about to see.
Yeah. I love the character. I love the oddness in that great world building, that there's this ancient droid that helps with this extremely spiritual moment of the lightsabers. That was a great expansion of what a droid can be in Star Wars. A great fun treat that it was this genre crossover that it's the Doctor. But then to look at it in this era, in the way that the trailer sets Yang up to be, I don't feel like Ahsoka is like, I got to go rebuild the Jedi Order, but knows that she needs tools to help fight, needs wisdom. So the idea that she'd go to this character is interesting narratively, and it's just such a tribute to the Clone Wars. Like that there's There's nothing, I think Space Jack Black and Space Lizzo prove it, there's nothing so weird in animation that ain't can't pop up in live action. Not that those characters were in animation, but they have 100% the vibe of random background or small weirdo in, in the Clone Wars or Rebels.
Yeah, no, in fact, you just make me think of the story of Professor Hwag, like thousands of years, but also like Order 66, the fall. The Empire. What was he doing during that time?
Yeah, where was he?
Where was he?
Was he subjected to horrible tortures? Did he hide things?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and I love that. Again, I love that all those pieces are out there and Dave's playing with them.
Yeah, we're gonna learn so much more. It's very exciting. Other things we learned. I can't remember honestly if this had been confirmed before that the character that we met in the Jedi episode of Mandalorian season 2, that Morgan Elsbeth is playing a major role.
A very major role. Yeah. I'm intrigued by that because I don't know why we discussed it, whether or not Ahsoka, you know, Dooku'd her head off at the end of that episode or not. But we didn't see that. We didn't see that. And so the character goes on and it seems like a pretty prominent role.
Yeah, they really set her up as one of the big bads. Like there's almost an energy like that there that that it's a little bit of a video game thing. That this is me putting my spin on it. They didn't say it this way, but like that's the sub boss that Ahsoka's going to have to get through to get to Thrawn.
They described her very loyal to a certain character.
Yeah, they described her as very loyal to Thrawn and made a big deal that they're going to learn more about her past.
Very big deal. Yeah.
I believe from that the Jedi episode of Mandalorian that she is a noble person, right? Who profited from the conflict in
built ships, right? Or part of a shipbuilding family.
Yeah.
We'll have to review, but yes.
Yeah. So learning more about her family sounds great. Some deep Star Wars lore. Yeah. And then one of the greatest parts of the panel to me was the part where there was absolutely no information. The actors playing the red blade wielding characters, their names were confirmed as Baylan and Shin.
Yeah.
There were last names. I missed them.
There were last names. And I tried Baylan blank and Shin something or other. Very Star Warsy names.
Baylan and Shin. And Shin something. Yeah. Super bad. Yeah. And, Filoni was asked, what can you tell us about them? And he's like, nothing. So they're highlighting the actors. They're acknowledging their presence in, the trailer, in the narrative, but they're really, I was going to say keeping that under their hat, which sounds literal when we're talking about Filoni. but yeah, there's nothing. So I want to take a moment, having some fun, responsible speculation. Yeah. Now that we've had a little bit of time to process the red blades in the Ahsoka trailer in this New Republic era where Thrawn is the big bad, what are any hopes or dreams or thoughts about where those red blade wielders are coming from?
You know, I don't know where my mind goes immediately. I go to a negative space of I don't want them to be quote unquote Sith. I want them to be something different. Acolytes of Beyond, but I don't even mean to connect them to the Aftermath books and those characters. But those type of people who have not, if the Jedi are rebuilding slowly, Luke at the forefront during this era, Ahsoka here now, the search for Ezra and any remaining Jedi and Force users still exist. I of course, it would make sense that there'd be a group that's like, well, you know, we don't want those bad old ways to go away. There's still some things about that, and there's a power vacuum maybe that we can slip into. So I'm definitely intrigued. It was not something I was expecting, and that was in the reveal yesterday. Mm-hmm. But seeing red blades in action, which could mean anything, but it just added a big epic tension that I wasn't expecting from the series. And again, this goes back to just the idea of thinking that the Ahsoka series is it's going to pick up after Rebels. They're going to search for Ezra. Got it. Good. We are already getting the feeling that there's some bigger things at play, and I'm really excited about that. So my final answer is I don't think they're Sith. I think they're worshippers of some kind.
Yeah, I think there is something about them that has that that vibe. There is the one shot where there is a force push. Otherwise, I might just be like, they're fans. they're hardcore Sith fans who got some blades going. But it does look like actual force sensitivity from Baylan Ray Stevenson.
Yeah,
that's his full name, Baylan Ray
Stevenson. Baylan Ray Stevenson.
But What I love about the trailer, and we haven't really had time to do like a full super deep thematic analysis the trailer, but I feel like the trailer is set up in many ways to show Ahsoka's need to fill the void of the Jedi. So all sorts of timeline questions about how aware is she of Luke? Has she met him yet? How does she feel about it? All that. So I love that that's giving an arc to Ahsoka, but relating it back to the mysterious Red Blades, that if they're going around terrorizing, that we see them attacking people in New Republic outfits, right?
Yes.
That is the exact threat that a different blade should rise to meet. So if Ahsoka is, I want to be looking for Ezra, but I feel the need, the responsibility to help with this is really intriguing. My wild speculation, because they're not coded as Inquisitors who survived in any of their look or apparel. Maybe they're a couple of Jedi who had taken their Bresh vow. maybe Ray Stevenson. The Shen looks a little bit Shin looks a little bit too young for that. So I'm wondering if they are Force sensitives from the unknown regions. That Thrawn was foiled twice in Rebels.
Yes.
In both times, it was because something he doesn't entirely understand and can't entirely account for, and that is the cosmic power of the Force.
Right.
Right? It's the Bendu who really slow him down. It's Ezra's weird and mysterious relationship with the Purgles.
Yeah.
A board moves that Thrawn can't play better chess then because he didn't know those pieces were on the board.
Right.
So I can see Thrawn saying, I need a counter to this. The Force is not unique. It's in the Chiss culture. It's understood differently. So Thrawn knows what it is. So
these are like Skywalkers, right?
Skywalkers from the Chiss books. Yeah, like I'm not fully saying that, but that idea of like, I think we could maybe see instead of like Sith, like these are people from a different culture, not Chiss, obviously, but people from a different culture who are wielding the dark side or the Bogan or whatever they call it.
Yeah, no, they look great. Ray Stevenson and Ivana Sakno is the other actor there playing Shin. I really, that opens up some possibilities for me of just of it being unknown regions and whether it's directly connected to Exegol, Sith cultists, or those who are trying to keep it alive. We know those people exist. I don't know. I don't think this is one of the series that's going to go connect to every little corner of the Star Wars galaxy. But that just Thrawn and wherever the hell Ezra and the Purgles went with him opens up the possibility of exactly what you're talking about, other characters coming in. So I like that idea. And it makes it a little bit of an outside threat and force.
Yeah, I would like a fresh idea to them.
Yeah.
A fresh perspective of the dark side.
Yeah. I love Kylo worshiping Vader. I don't need them to worship Vader. Yeah.
And it will be great to see what they want. So another reveal then is the full director list that they put up on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And much of it was as rumored. The one that I'm extremely excited about is Steph Green, who directed the second episode of Book of Boba Fett, which I think is just a phenomenal episode of Star Wars television. Ken's pulling up his photo that he took.
Yeah.
Who are the rest of the directors?
I don't know if I was allowed to take any photo. They were a little stricter, this panel. Yeah, so Dave Filoni, Steph Green, Peter Ramsey, of course, who just did a Mandalorian episode, of course, from Spider-Man animated film. Jennifer Getzinger, Geeta Patel, and Rick Famuyiwa coming into this one here, which maybe we'd heard.
I think we heard. Yeah, it is getting hard to keep track.
Yeah, it's hard to get. hard to keep track. And yeah, I think you're right. I think all the I'm not super familiar with Jennifer Getzinger, but I think that name had popped up at one point too.
Yeah,
but just to see him and to confirm it, and this is the team leading this this important series. That's exciting.
Yeah, and Filoni specifically said that it is great to connect with Peter Ramsey, given Peter Ramsey's history with animation, like Filoni and other people on the team. So I'm sure more coming to light with those directors. Great to see more and more people coming into Star Wars. And Steph Green is one of those.
Yeah.
Everybody I felt like was really on board with that second episode of Book of Boba Fett. And then for a lot of fans, some brightly colored speeders chased slow and some people were done with Book of Boba Fett.
But the episode before.
With the Tusken Warrior, with the train heist battle.
A lot of joy.
With the vision quest. very, very excited for that. One of the other big reveals that I think applauded
yes.
Loudly for some hoots and hollers for Kevin Kiner. Kevin Kiner doing the music for Ahsoka.
I'm so excited about this because this has been one of those conversation points for years now of why can't Kevin Kiner do any live action Star Wars? Why couldn't that not happen? And there's been so many talented people. I love everything that's been done. I really do. And Ludwig, of course, Ludwig Göransson with Mando, Joseph Shirley now, right? Doing the score now. This makes perfect sense. I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't stopped to think about that. Well, of course, Filoni would pull along Kevin Kiner. They seem to sing together well. Mm-hmm. And that got me really excited because just some of the Bad Batch stuff this year, some of Kiner's best work. And to see it on this level, it's beautiful. And I'm glad he got that chance, getting that chance.
Yeah, he's so good at doing Star Wars music that really stretches Star Wars.
Yes.
I think the animation yes. hasn't been under a microscope as much music-wise, and it can have all sorts of different tones and locations. So I'm really yeah. excited to see that translated to live action. It's also just it's great to see somebody who we compliment almost every week when a show is out, right? To get this chance. And they talked a lot about how he wrote a theme for Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. He's written themes for, you got to imagine some things from Rebels are going to come in. And yeah. just how much would it suck to be like, oh, we've got a different composer, but hey, Kevin's already done half the work.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's the building blocks from these shows.
So. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
The other thing, there were a couple things in the trailer, and I think they were really clear about this is just for the room right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please don't share. So I think we'll leave those alone, right?
Yeah. I think it's as much as I want to discuss them, I think it's important to respect what they're. What they are asking there. And there's some great reveals that I want you all to see for the first time as intended that just add to what's the anticipation of what's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ken and I were taking sparse little notes on our phones, and it was really fun to see when we're both like, ooh, we're writing things down. We both write down Kevin Kiner. Over the course of this discussion, there were two George Lucas quotes that were thrown out, and I saw both Ken and I whip out our phones. this wasn't a section of the panel or anything. Like, let's share George Lucas quotes.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a section of our podcast.
Yeah.
Filoni shared early on that one of the encouraging things that George Lucas said to him is dare to be great.
Yeah.
That on a surface level, that sounds like a poster from 1992 with a teacher trying to tell you never to try marijuana.
Yeah. yeah.
Just dare to be great.
Don't do it.
On a surface level, it can sound really simple.
Yeah.
But why did it hit you? Why did you write it down?
I think it's about it's actually a little bit of Yoda. It's a little bit of do or do not. There is no try. And that debate. We even had that discussion on Force Center of what that really means. It doesn't mean you either succeed or fail. It just means that the committing to the try is mm-hmm. the point, right? And Dare to Be Great is kind of that same vibe to me. It can be simple bumper sticker advice. Sure, of course. But that just means take that shot. Do it. Be creative. Don't put any boundaries on. Take a risk. Be you. All those wonderful things. It did kind of speak to not just me, but speak to what they're trying to do in Star Wars, in George's world. And George wasn't a quote specific to, yeah, take my franchise and I've sold it, dare to be great with it. But I taking big swings mm-hmm. and telling the story that matters to you, which is another thing we'll discuss here in a second. But yeah, I thought that it makes a lot of sense coming from the man in flannel,
mm-hmm.
you know, who just was like, yeah, no, I do. They told me I couldn't. But I did.
Yep.
Yeah.
And wanting, in the best sort of a mentor Padawan way, wanting to pass that on to Filoni. It resonated with me because I'm sure many people have experienced this. I feel like I experienced a lot of it very directly of you can sort of internalize people going, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Oh, Filoni, you're apprentice. You had this interview with Lucas and he took to you and you got elevated to the. What did you do?
Right.
To earn this, stay in your lane. You're good at these things, right?
Yeah.
It's a discussion I've had with friends, with artists, with people who struggle in lots of ways of having any sort of external, you can't do this view really internalized. I've had conversations with people about, hey, look, I'm not saying that I'm as talented as David Bowie, or you are, that I'm talking, maybe we're not.
Yeah.
But David Bowie had to believe he could be David Bowie. We can't like accept people who've been really successful as it's been preordained. The clouds broke and the angels sang when David Bowie was born. David Bowie dared to be great and we all benefited.
Yeah.
And maybe you're not David Bowie, but how the hell are you going to know if you don't give yourself permission to say,
yeah,
I'm great.
Yeah.
And what I have to say is interesting. What I have to do is interesting. And I'm not going to be held back by the negativity. I'm going to say, I want to go out there and do this. I mean, if George Lucas decided to stay in his lane, none of us would be here.
None of us would be here, indeed. No, I think so many creators coming into Star Wars and so many people taking on this task. You could easily say Star Wars, stay in your lane, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the guideline, the moral guidelines. I'm not talking about that, but stay in your lane, Star Wars. And I think these series have shown, even to me, the recent episode of Mandalorian, episode 6 of season 3 is a little bit of like, no, let's try something. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really affecting, really powerful. Then in this other Lucas quote, it was in the context of Rosario Dawson talking about her own feelings about playing Ahsoka, talking about how she checked in with Filoni to make sure that he was happy. And then I think she said this quote from George that Filoni had said to her about make sure you like it.
Yes.
And I think this is a very important artistic discussion and one that gets viewed lots of different ways about, is it the job of creators to make something they know the fans are going to like, or do they need to make something, creators need to make something that they like, that's coming from them. So it is authentic. It is new. It is honest. And that is what will make other people like it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of shared that, yep, this was a thing that Lucas really told Filoni, one of the teaching points of don't worry ahead of time about how the audience is going to react.
Yeah.
If you like it, if you have no doubt this is good, this is what I wanted to do, it resonates with me, then that's the way to go as an artist. How did that affect you?
Same kind of vein, but just also when you're talking about Star Wars and talking about taking these choices – taking these risks with these choices, it was a prequel quote for me.
Yeah.
Right? It was George saying, yeah, I like it. I got it. And maybe George would tell you things here and there that obviously he always has things that he wished he could do better. But, so there's some truths and some things. But just at the end of the day, he told the story he wanted to tell. And I think every one of these creators and every one of these performers in Star Wars going forward, as much as they do pay respects to the fans and Lars Mikkelsen saying everyone who made this thing just loves Star Wars and they're trying to give you something that you as fans will love too. You know, that does not mean they're catering, that they're too precious, that they're playing safe. I think they're not. I mean, this trailer alone is not playing safe that we saw.
No.
It's taking big swings.
Yeah.
It's taking big swings. That challenges even what we know of the timeline of Star Wars. What you think, you know, there was a great moment where going back to the beginning where Dave was talking about, you know, George says, well, I want Anakin to have a Padawan. And Dave actually said to him, but Anakin doesn't have a Padawan. And George said, yeah, he does now. Because that's what I want to hear. And that's the story I want to see how he does. And that's fascinating. I love that quote for life. But as it pertains to Star Wars, it's particularly it's especially important.
Yeah, it's powerful to me because it doesn't mean screw the fans. Don't pay any attention to them. Don't listen to them. Who cares what they want? That's obviously not the way these creators are. The events like Star Wars Celebration, they repeat again and again.
Oh,
hey, we're making this for you. We're here because it's you. We really hope that a certain thing is going to land well. Favreau had said recently in that interview of like, you know, it's really great to have these little kind of bombs go off in the show and see if people react and see if we did our job well. So like there's absolutely an awareness and a concern about the fan reaction. But at the same time, the creators have to like it themselves. I think The Mandalorian in the whole Mandoverse in Favreau's style is getting even more idiosyncratic.
Yeah, yeah.
To him. Yeah. And it's not going to work for some people. But in some ways, that's what makes it more enjoyable to me, because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. That's his style.
Yeah.
That's his perspective. That's his voice.
Yeah.
And that's exciting to me. All right. We spent a good chunk of our Ahsoka discussion talking about things George Lucas said to Filoni a long time ago. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Ahsoka thoughts.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we are back to continue our discussion of the Ahsoka panel here at Star Wars Celebration 2023 London. Wrote down some Rosario thoughts. A good chunk of the panel was a discussion with Rosario Dawson about playing Ahsoka. She described a scenario where a lot of times she and Dave would be on set and would just really, really not even just work through the scene or talk through the lines, but just start chatting and sort of nerding out about Ahsoka. And Favreau even made a joke about, like, yeah, I gotta check sometimes if they're actually working or if they're just talking about Star Wars. So there's a lot said about the sort of the bond between them. And then Rosario said a lot of things just kind of about her understanding of Ahsoka, who she was. She said that Ahsoka is a person who understands her strengths and weaknesses and kind of said that is a reason that Ahsoka would really say, here's what I can handle and here's what I can't and here's what I need help with. She described her as very lonely.
Lonely,
I thought was great and powerful because I am still in this sort of camp that we are seeing her in a different state in Book of Boba Fett, and that she's got some healing to do from losing Anakin missing out on the Galactic Civil War, which
yeah.
is what I think the story will be. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
She also said that Ahsoka is not a Jedi, but she is imbued with the Jedi way and wants to help. How did you feel about Rosario Dawson sort of wading into the Jedi, not Jedi? Because Ahsoka had the great cool line in the Rebels conflict with Vader, where, you know, she says, "I'll avenge Anakin." And Vader says, that's not a Jedi's way. And she says, "I am no Jedi." And then she's been in an episode of Mandalorian called The Jedi. The trailer for Ahsoka has multiple nouns for her.
Yes.
And I believe the final one is
Jedi.
Yeah.
Outcast, rebel, Jedi.
Jedi. And that could be her resume of things she has been.
Sure, sure.
But how do you feel about this ongoing Jedi, not a Jedi?
I think it just all goes to what we've already discussed about. It's the spirit of who Ahsoka is. It's her being true to the tenets of the Jedi, but not necessarily the order that collapsed. And that still goes on. And that's her driving force, is to be like a Jedi. And maybe you don't have to have the title clearly to be it. It almost, you know, what's a Mandalorian? Now what's a Jedi? But we have a little more clear cut look on what the Jedi are. But no, I really like that she can definitely not be in the gray area. I don't believe in that. But that she almost like that would – there's something about this that's like to just – if she was to call herself a Jedi in this time, it would almost be in the way of what Luke's trying to do. Mm-hmm. It would almost be in a way of other people's story, that she doesn't need that. She might be a Jedi in every aspect, but she doesn't need to go around saying that right now. Because that would always put her on a different kind of path, if you know what I mean. Luke's doing what he's doing. And I'm wondering how they're going to answer that.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to get that at all.
All right.
I'm going to go do this. You need to rebuild the order.
Well, there is a question. There's a real timeline question as if she is responding to problems. The trailer, you know, something dark is coming. There aren't many, you know, the Jedi fell so long ago. There aren't many of us left.
Yep.
If she is aware of Luke's presence yet. Mm. That's true. Timeline question is really important. So, and it's also a very important question of, like, if Ahsoka's going around trying to tell people, like, a darkness is coming, Thrawn's a problem, and Luke's like, "I'm meditating. Don't bother me." Like, that's a
learning.
You problem.
Yeah, I'm learning.
I'm building or buying these droids that build huts. Don't bother me. Yeah. I don't think that's a Luke story. No, I love the ongoing story of Jedi, not a Jedi. And I think that is going to be a part of this show, since it's so clearly all over the trailer. I continue to think that it's not that Ahsoka broke with any of the tenets of the Jedi. She broke with the Order because the Order was beginning to step on its own tenets,
as
it were, and that she is a pretty pure Jedi, and that she doesn't need to sort of dogmatically remind herself to follow the rules.
Right.
It's what her heart pulls her to do.
She's free to do that.
She sees a problem and she wants to help. Mm-hmm. She wants to make a difference, and she wants to defend and make things right. And that's just naturally who she is.
Yeah.
Couple other great things that Rosario Dawson said. She described a lot of how just getting into the role of Ahsoka has made a huge difference in her life, because she just needs to be so zen, so centered, spiritually and literally physically with all the training. How did that affect you? Did you find yourself going like, "I wish I could play a Jedi so it would make my life so
well"? No, I mean, she's so into this. That's the big thing. I've seen in other interviews, another moment, even yesterday coming on the panel. This is not just a role for her, you know, this is now kind of a way of life. She takes this role very seriously. She takes what it means to the fans very, very seriously. She's very aware of it. Even some of the negative stuff. She explains some of the tech on the costume that has changed and gotten better. But, I love to hear that. This is someone who's fully invested, especially for a character that had someone portraying her that was also fully invested. Ashley Eckstein is fully invested in, and Rosario seems to have met her on that level, is truly living the role. And I think that's who you want in this role.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think all of that, the stubbornness they mentioned, the compassion, the need to keep moving forward, everything that has been a part of Ahsoka's character from the beginning, everything that was sort of similar to Anakin is still there. But there's this, like, I've been through a lot and I need to be calm and centered and clearly making the right choices. I appreciate it from the perspective of, you know, doing the podcast, and we have deep dives on issues, particularly like Jedi
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes like the rest of my day or the rest of my week is better because I'm like,
focused on.
We've talked so much about why did Kenobi do this? What is this scene about?
Yeah.
That I feel like, yes.
Yeah.
I'll be zen and centered in traffic and in this email and in this conversation with my family member. Yeah. And you know.
I could be better is what I always tell myself.
I could be better. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the last thing I wanted to talk about. It was a great moment in the panel. Mm-hmm. She talked about her Montrals,
mm-hmm.
Which I think there's ongoing debate about. Is the Montral simply the pokey points at the top of a Draguda's head and the rest are called Leku, or is the entire head piece, including points and tails, Montrals? Or does a Montral have Leku?
Yeah.
Which I love getting into that level of nerdery where, you know, if a person outside of Star Wars would be like, are you okay? Are those human words? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I think we should ask the people on the floor, in the convention floor. There'll be some heated debates out there.
Heated debate. I've seen some, like, they're Leku. Like, no, they're Montrals. They're Montrals with Leku. anyway, point being, they were describing how the tech has gotten a lot better and that basically in the Mandalorian episode that the headpiece just didn't move and she was, it was heavy. It didn't move. It was foam and she had to Batman 89 Michael Keaton it.
Yeah.
Like it was really like it doesn't move and we needed to work with it. And it wasn't a choice. It was, this is how we can't figure out how to do it better right now. Throughout the panel, they talked about that episode of The Mandalorian is central to Din's story and Grogu's story. But also a way to test everything about Ahsoka. Does it work? Because we want to do this series, but we want to see if everything works. And one of the things that they got away with, but fans commented on, were the Montrals / Leku. So they explained how they have much better technology. They're more flowing and organic and they move.
Yeah.
And then she said again, she went right in. Rosario Dawson said, and they're longer. Like, we heard, we understand.
We got it.
So that was one of these things that pops up in all-in fan communities where people were really bothered by it, really upset that it had been established in canon that DeGruta's Leku or Montral grow longer. Mm-hmm. They had grown longer and been a part of her. I saw a lot of tweets where people were like, I went emotionally on this journey with her in Rebels. They are long because she has become an adult and this is hurting me that is she being am I supposed to believe she's been sort of reverted back to adolescence? This is disturbing. Like people, there was some of the pedantic and there were some people who tied some very, very strong emotions to it. And Rosario Dawson just went right into it and said quickly and casually, like, we heard. It's super clear that length was an issue for everybody and we're working on it. We worked on it.
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic. And she just, the way you're describing it too, if people have an emotional connection to them, I'm never here to take that feeling away from anyone. But there is just a back when that happened, and it happens every once in a while in Star Wars, and it's going to happen more. Cad Bane's hat. Is it too big? Is it too small? The fact that there's sometimes an attitude that, they aren't watching Star Wars, you know, that Filoni forgot. And that's where I always rub up against it. Even if they're keeping the same length, like, what are you going to do about it? But they asked that question. What are you going to do about it? And the Leku Montrals, whatever you want to say, are 3D. They have like 3D printed bones, essentially, mm-hmm. with skin around them. And they're light. And they have a movability. So you're going to get more fighting. You're going to get more things. And yeah, you go back to that episode. You can kind of see what Rosario Dawson's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The mobility is not there. The stoic nature is heightened by the fact that she simply could not turn left or right in that outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was even like, it doesn't show a ton in this trailer, but they move.
They move.
Yeah. So that was some of Rosario Dawson's thoughts. Want to talk about the rest of the Rebels. Chopper rolled out live on stage again. It was like Chopper was security because he would roll out every time somebody new was added to the panel. And then there was a funny bit that he was frightened by the villains and made a Chopper little screamy noise and rolled away.
Yeah.
So that's Chopper. We're excited for more about Chopper. Mary Elizabeth Winstead talked a little bit about Hera. She talked about, she was asked the process of becoming Hera, and she's like, well, watch Rebels.
Yeah, you better watch Rebels.
She talked about really being affected in trying to play Hera with an awareness of everything that Hera carries. Mm-hmm. And I felt some of that was acknowledging the trauma of the Galactic Civil War, but still the trauma of Kanan.
Yeah.
And she called out something that fans discuss a lot about Hera, of Hera is an accomplished pilot, a general in the Rebel Alliance and now the New Republic. But she's also everybody's mom. And I so appreciated in my Rebels rewatch that it was truly about
completely
different cultural ways that we look at motherhood, where it wasn't just like, I'm going to make sure you're physically safe. I'm going to tell you to, you know, eat your vegetables, you know, Sabine and Ezra. But that she took on everybody's emotional problems and like tracked them. Like, I know there's some stuff that Sabine hasn't worked through that she's went through on Mandalore and in the Empire. And she hasn't told me yet, but she will when she's ready. I'm the one who has to remind Kanan, this is what Ezra is going through about losing his parents. That's why he's acting like this. Like, she kept track of everybody's business and carried it for them while still trying to make room for herself. How did you feel hearing the new actor of Hera acknowledged that legacy?
Again, shows that they have respect for these characters like we knew they would, but that we're going to get more true continuation of the emotional journeys of those characters. That Hera is not just here to show up and wave. Mm-hmm. That these characters, even though there was earlier in the panel, John Favreau said something about, hey, the larger goal was bringing in Dave's characters, and that could... That was said with such a laissez-faire kind of like, yeah, Dave always wanted to do this. But Davis said, no, I don't try to bring my characters in. I want to bring them in. So I think it was just John saying an overall sense of, yeah, of course, Dave getting involved. We want to see what we can do with these characters. A little bit of that Jedi episode, Mando, was a bit of a test. A pilot almost, if you will. Like the shorter Montrails are almost like an actor having a different haircut in the pilots, and then the series gets picked up and they change things. There's that vibe. But to take that into Mary Elizabeth Winstead's comments about what she's bringing and how she's going to deal with Hera, it to me shows this great purpose in those characters being there, and that gives me even more comfort and confidence as a fan.
Yeah, it was really, really exciting. They flashed a great photo of Hera.
Great one.
Flashed a great photo of Sabine as well with different outfits. I might have missed it. I don't feel like the actor, since the actor has been around now and announced for a year. I think a lot of what she said about Sabine in the process, she said before. But one thing in particular that she once again emphasized was the training.
For
the fights.
We're going to get some fighting here.
Yeah. So another big thing that came up on the panel was a discussion of the trainer, Ming-Q. They talked about how she is also the Jedi who's trying to protect the younglings in the first episode of Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And that everybody was really happy to see her in that. But they all joked, the hard thing about watching it, though, is there's no way that those clone troopers could ever... They might have beat that Jedi, but they could not beat Ming-Q. It got me really excited because they talked about her training in martial arts, going back to, like, she sounded like she had been training hard since she was 9 years old. Not like, after school, I take a couple classes, but they're talking about her being, like, sent away from her family.
Went to a temple. She saw her family once a year for 10 years and represented China in the Olympics in martial arts.
Yeah. And they talked a lot about the huge level of training and Ming-Q really holding the actors to account. And I can't remember who said it. Like, you'd do a take and be like, that felt pretty cool. That felt pretty cool. Then you look over to Ming-Q and she'd be like, can do a little bit better. So it's a real emphasis on fighting. They also mentioned how the big fight between Ahsoka and Morgan Elsbeth in that Mandalorian episode, they learned a lot from that because they tried to shoot it in one day. And it took 17 hours.
Brutal.
But it was yet another time where they acknowledged that they learned a lot from the first go around with Ahsoka and really emphasized the fighting. So I'm kind of thinking that what we're seeing in the trailer is maybe only a very, very small taste of the kind of combat and action that there is in this show.
No, I think we're getting a lot of fighting, lightsaber fights in particular. Because a lot of that stuff we see with Ahsoka and those droids that's in that trailer as well. Like, I even wonder if that's some sort of training or any, who knows, or guards as she's trying to find Professor Hoang. I don't know. Something like that. Cool. But I think you're going to get some between this and some of the stuff that we saw, but it's not public with Acolyte. We've just got a lot of cool, very stylistic lightsaber Star Wars fights coming our way.
It's a good time for lightsaber fighting.
It really will be.
Ken, those were most of my notes. Do you have anything in your notes that we haven't chatted about?
No, everything we touched there. Just want to we can look at the as best we can describe. What are some things, again, we're going to hold back from any kind of trailer discussion. They released something just for the room. But I'll just say this. As someone who enjoys Rebels so much, and I know what Rebels means to so many people, I think it's just going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
There's tiny little things. I know you and I reacted in one similar moment, too, of just like, oh, God, I'm seeing that.
Yeah. It's
seeing
just,
that.
It's not a huge – I'm not going to say it because it's not a huge spoiler.
It's not just, huge, but it's just – yeah.
It's one of those flavor things of like, that thing I like from the thing I like is in the new thing I'm going to like.
Yeah.
And it's just so exciting to see. It's they're really walking a great line with this that, to me, there's no way you can watch that trailer and not be centered on Ahsoka and her journey and her concerns. But it is also Rebels 2.0. Rebels in live action continuing their story, and both are thrilling.
Yeah, no, the my final thought on just the trailer and the panel is kind of like we said yesterday when the reveal of the teaser happened. It's just way bigger than I even anticipated with this series. And sometimes, you know, Dave's a character and there's so many things about him that make me laugh sometimes. You know, he knows what he wants to do and he knows Star Wars well. And I can't wait to see. I at this point, I can't even imagine what they've cooked up. And that's what I love.
Yeah. And it's going to get into Jedi. It's going to get into the dark side. It's the spiritual nature of it, the philosophy of it. Yeah. Jedi, not a Jedi. What does it mean? What is Ezra thinking out there in Purgletown, Purgatory? Yeah. Can't wait to find out. Here's a final thing that I thought it was fun to share. We were talking yesterday about Favreau having a little bit of this sort of your fun uncle who gives you more candy than he maybe should.
Yeah.
They played the trailer and I think spontaneously a big chunk of the audience started saying one more time. And they're kind of like, hey, could you let us introduce Thrawn? Here's Lars Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple of one more time. And the moderator, to his credit, was just trying to wrap up, trying to keep the trains running on time kind of thing. And Uncle John leans backstage and is like, making some gestures to somebody. And he's like, I ask. It's okay. They can have it one more time. And it's like, the candy prophecy came true. He's like,
give them more candy. Give them like, more of those.
They can have one more bit of honey. It's fine. And they did play it one more time.
But they'll be up all night. I don't care.
Let them have some fun.
Yeah.
And we had fun. That is it for me, Ken.
That is it for us on this Ahsoka panel reaction. Like I said, some of the stuff isn't out there. Some of it might get out there. If you can wait and see it as it's intended, you'll be better for it. But we understand sometimes you just want to look. We get it. A lot of fun. Hey, we are still here. We got one more episode coming in London. It's been a great time meeting a lot of you there. We, for those who are finding us or want to track us down, we're on Twitter, Force Center Pod, Instagram, YouTube. Subscribe over there. Trying to get up shorts. Internet has been a bit of a problem here in this town, or at least at the center. So bear with us on that. And support us on Patreon if you want at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Follow me at Ken Napsok, Joseph at Joseph Scripture. We've got to get running to a panel with Star Wars Explained. We'll see you all next time here on Force Center.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.